If Pentecost was the beginning of the church, it was a birth that came out of frailty. Because here were the believers. Here were the people who walked with Jesus Christ, who listened to him and heard him. They saw all that he did. They were part of the healing miracles, the multiplication of the loaves. Again and again, they saw the power and glory of God displayed through Jesus Christ. And they're huddled in fear behind closed doors. Yet, Pentecost, the power of the Holy Spirit, unleashes within each and every one of them a courageous power. Driven by wind and fire, they are sent forth by Jesus Christ to be loose upon the world, to make bold proclamation of the gospel message, to share the good news of the Paschal mystery. And part of the hallmark of their message is universality. All men and women are to be saved through the name of Jesus Christ. All men and women are to experience hope and salvation through the power and glory of God, through the mystery of the passion, death, and resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. And the church, in its truest moments, is not only a proclamation unto itself, but also to the ends of the earth. There are different gifts, St. Paul will tell us, with the same Spirit. There are different ministries, but the same Lord. There are different works, but the same God, who accomplishes all of them in every one of them. And the gifts of the Holy Spirit are to bear fruit. They're not just something that we take to ourselves and go away someplace and look at them very carefully and cherish them only about us. But rather, they are for the mission and ministry of the church. They are for the proclamation of the good news, making known wherever we are the salvation that has been brought to us, the power of God, the goodness of God, the love, the mercy of God, wherever we are. That's the Holy Spirit. And today, on this great festival, the beginning of the church through the Holy Spirit, the resurrected Christ responds to the terror of the disciples. As they are huddled about, he brings in peace. And not as the world offers peace. Not in the sense that everything is nice, everything is calm, there's no distraction, things aren't in a matter of distress or chaos, but a peaceableness, a sense of inner strength and inner solace that allows one to go forth and make known the message of Jesus Christ. Because we are reminded that Jesus Christ invites all believers to come and drink from the fountain of salvation, the fountain of living water that flows out from within him, the Holy Spirit. Before his death, Jesus offers to keep his disciples from being distressed or fearful. He dedicates them to God. He commits them always to the truth and calls them to preach the truth wherever they are. He realizes that they are being sent out into a world in which they cannot escape suffering. They cannot escape harm or difficulties or tragedy or chaos. These are part of our human life. But we are not going to be drawn into them. We're not to be drowned in the chaos and the darkness and the dankness that so often pollutes our life day in and day out. But rather, we are to be lifted up above that. And we are to be living examples of all that we have seen and all that we have heard. And Jesus offers them this peace and the promise that the Holy Spirit will teach you everything, remind you of all that I have told you, Jesus says. So in the midst of turmoil, in the midst of trauma, the truth of the Holy Spirit comes to set them free, comes to set us free. Many, many years ago, our diocese did this diocesan-wide evaluation of all the parishes. And said, you know, these are the things that we need to do as a parish. Let's look at the church documents and let's look at the sacred scriptures. Let's look at what it means to be a parish and how we do parish work in the diocese and the world. And I remember going to some of these places, and one place in particular I remember, I said, what's the most important thing that we do here as a parish? Our dinners, Father. We have two parish dinners. I said, that's good. That's really wonderful. That's a good, important thing to do. Build camaraderie, build that community. Is there anything else that we do that makes us a parish? Anything at all? Anything at all that we do as a parish? Nope, Father, I think that's it. I think it's the dinners. Anything at all that we might do? Maybe weekly we might do something? Anything that's really important that really makes us Catholic, that makes us a community of faith? Anything? And the dinners, Father. We make money for the dinners. We have $300 in the fall dinner, about $400 from the spring dinner. Can we think of anything else? Anything else that we do? Anything else that we do? Body of? Anything else that we do? Nope, I think that's it, Father. The dinners. And sometimes we do that. We get so caught up in all these other kinds of things and all this other kind of stuff. Or we get so overwhelmed. We turn on the news. We get so overwhelmed. We forget to rely on the power of the Holy Spirit. And that's our challenge, that we are called with the gifts we receive, not only for ourselves, but as a community of faith, to go forth and make known the message of our Lord Jesus Christ, to make known the message of the gospel, to bring healing and peace in the people around us. For all of us who know where Aquin is, Aquin High School is, the last few months, lots of times I've been leaving the high school, and one of the people, one of the neighborhood people, it's been sort of cool in a real way. They've been walking down the streets, and they see me. And praise Jesus, Reverend. They have no idea who I am, but praise Jesus. And I always say, for now and forever. And then one of the other day, it came out, it was really one of the real nice days, came out, and I was sort of looking around at the trees and everything. This woman comes up, and, you know, Reverend, I hope you have a blessed day. And I hope God blesses you as well. Oh, thank you. Thank you, Jesus. So cool. And those little moments, those little times like that, we meet people. And I thought, I should do this all the time. I should just walk downtown and walk around the city and everything in my clerics and talk about Jesus. But that's really the call. We don't have to do that. But that's really the call, really, to make known the message of Jesus Christ, to make known through the power of the Spirit what we believe in and what we profess. And what identifies us as a member of the body of Christ, to go forth and to share good news. And that's what the early church back in the Vatican Council time. Vatican Council said, yeah, what does it mean to be church in the world? This is 1965, and we've been in Vietnam for about a year in 1965, and we had the Beatles come over from England, and that started all sorts of things in 1964. And all these things are happening around us. They're starting and began, and stuff was swirling around all over the place in the early and the mid-1960s. And the church said, you know, there's a lot of things that are changing in our world. That's a good pop song, by the way. And things are changing, and things are a little bit different, and things are a little bit, well, things are going to happen here. What does it mean to be a church in the modern world? And the bishops and the theologians came together and create a document called Gaudium et Spes, the Church in the Modern World. And it's sort of cool how they began that document. They said, the joys and the hopes, the griefs and the anxieties of the men, and put it in women as well, of this age, especially those who are poor or in any way afflicted, these are the joys and hopes, the griefs and the anxieties of the followers of Christ. Indeed, nothing genuinely human fails to raise an echo in their hearts, for theirs is a community composed of men and women, the church. United in Christ, the church, they are led by the Holy Spirit in their journey to the kingdom of their Father, and they have welcomed the news of salvation, which is meant for every man and every woman. And how powerful that is. And some people said, you know, that's too optimistic. But the bishops and the theologians said, we're the church. We have to be optimistic. We have to say, what if? What if we follow what St. Paul said today and live by charity and chastity and understanding and peace and reconciliation? What if our church truly acted as light in the world today? In other words, the church is to convey a singular mission, the gospel message. And as Jesus invokes the Spirit, the Advocate, he offers his priestly prayer on not just the apostles, but each and every one of us as well, bequeathing to the followers not only unity, but a fearless devotion to the truth, an intense sense of unity, and an equally intense sense of mission. That we are not only to be about the first fruits of the Spirit, but we are to bear fruit by our works, our words, our wisdom, by walking with our brothers and sisters. And a big part of that today is forgiveness and reconciliation and healing and peace. We see that in so many places and so many facets of our society today. What's really needed is that sense of being able to forgive, being able to reconcile, to heal and bring healing about, to be a people of peace. And these, when we do these, when we act in this way, it reveals the awesome reality and the beauty of the Holy Spirit and the mission and ministry of our church. God's gift of the Spirit is not meant to be timid. It's not meant to be something tucked away someplace. But sometimes we can act like that pre-Pentecostal group of apostles huddled in the upper room, afraid of one another and afraid of the world. But we are called to be living in the Spirit. We are called to be committed to the truth, to always live our lives as people wherever we are, to bless the Lord and to praise the Lord. We are called to, once again, as the prayer, the sequence, the prayers of the Holy Spirit, to be the lover of the poor, the light of the human heart. We are called to be the kind God and the giver of gifts, the gracious visitor who eases our toils, the consoler with cool grace, and the light in the darkness. We rely on the Spirit so that we too might be the warmer of the hearts of men and women and the healer of wounds, the gift of joy and the absolver of sins. That's the mission and ministry of the church, and we are being empowered by the Holy Spirit. We constantly commit ourselves to the work of the Holy Spirit, that we too may continue as the apostles to go out of those upper rooms, away from our huddledness, to go and prepare the world for the kingdom and proclaim good news. So we pray, come Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of your faithful and kindle in them the fire of your love. Send forth your Spirit and they shall be created, and you shall renew the face of the earth. Amen.